Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, we're here on the red carpet at Brazos Point with some of our favorite heroes of the Bible. Let's see who we can talk to. Moses' right-hand man. Joshua, please, a few questions.
Please, you can call me Josh.
Okay, Josh, you are regarded as a strong but humble man. How does it feel to go from second in command to leader of the Israelites now that Moses has passed?
Yeah, being mentioned in the same sentence as Moses is extremely humbling. He was an amazing leader, and I think it's huge, you know, taking up his mantle of leadership.
Yes, but what was it like working with Moses?
Oh, it was awesome. Having a back seat and watching God work through him, and just seeing all the miracles and wonders.
Yes, but what was the greatest miracle that you saw Moses perform?
The greatest miracle I saw him perform has to be when he split the Red Sea. You know, he just splashed it down. It was crazy. You should have seen it.
Is that Moses' staff?
His what?
The wooden staff that he used to perform miracles.
That's my staff.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm not trying to be rude, but if you want to give me an interview, you should probably talk about me. If you want to learn about Moses, though, there's a whole book in the Bible of Exodus.
Oh, okay. Well, Josh, what was it like now that Moses is gone? How are you going to do? Do you think you'll do as good as Moses?
Yeah, I think this interview is done with. You were something. Thank you.
Okay, well, there you have it, everybody. Joshua, Moses' right-hand man. Later on, we'll learn about his story and see how we can apply it to our lives. Back to you.
Have you ever thought about the sheer number of things that we trust every single day without really thinking about? Like, the things that we just trust are going to work or that are going to be safe. Like every day I trust when I get to an intersection and the light turns green and I drive my car into it, I am just trusting that the lights on the other sides are gonna be red. We trust that the pilots flying our planes are, they know what they're doing and that they are prepared that day. We trust that the food that we're served or that we buy at the grocery store is safe and has been prepared the way it's supposed to. We trust many things without really thinking about it. And it reminds me of astronauts, because I'm just a massive fan of space. And I think about the thousands upon thousands of people who all have to work together and all have to do their jobs correctly in order to send somebody into space or to the moon. And it reminds me of this quote from John Glenn, one of the most famous astronauts to ever live. And someone asked him once, they said, "When you were strapped in on the launch pad, and the countdown was going, and it was getting close to the moment," they said, "what was going through your head? What were you feeling? What were you thinking about?" And here was his response. He said, "Well, the answer to that one is easy. I felt exactly how you would feel if you were getting ready to launch and you knew you were sitting on top of 2 million parts, all of them built by the lowest bidder on a government contract." That is trust. And the reality is we trust so many things every day, and it leads me to talk about our character today, Joshua, a character from the Old Testament who has an epic story that I want us to look at today. And if you don't know anything about Joshua, then you're in for a treat today as we just talk about his life. But if you know some things about Joshua, you may know that he is known as being a good and great leader. That he's someone who led God's people after Moses, and he led them into battles and even the Battle of Jericho. But what I want to focus on today is what I believe is his greatest trait, the thing that enabled him to accomplish all those other things. And I believe it was his trust and his dependence on God. And so if you would this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 6 in your Bibles? And Joshua is the sixth book of the Bible, so go all the way to the front and just count them out. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, we're going to put the words up on the screen, but I also want you to know that if you do not have a Bible that you can clearly understand, we would love to send you home with one today, and you can grab one at the Welcome Center right after this. And so as you turn there, it's important to understand what was happening in this point. up to this point. You see, God's people, after God rescued them out of slavery in Egypt, they walked around the desert for 40 years. And in those 40 years, they were holding on to a promise that God had made them, that he was taking them to a place that he had prepared for them, a land set aside for them, a specific place for them that was abundant and full of life, that was flowing with milk and honey, as he described. And so as they walk through this desert, they are holding on to this promise of the promised land. And yet after 40 years of walking through the desert, their leader, Moses, dies. And after he dies, God tells his people two things. The first is he tells them that Joshua is going to be your new leader. And the second thing he tells them is that it is finally time. After 40 years, it is finally time to receive this promise, to go into the land that you have been waiting and looking toward. And so that's what we will pick up today, where Joshua takes over as the leader of God's people. And yet before we do, it's important to understand who exactly Joshua was. As that video just told you, he was Moses' assistant. He worked alongside Moses, and he must have learned a great deal from him, walking beside him. And from very early on in his life, we can see that he trusted God immensely. You see, as soon as God's people were rescued out of slavery, before they walked around for 40 years, there was a moment where they actually came up close to the promised land. And in that moment where they came up close to it, Moses sent 12 spies or 12 scouts to go out from their camp and to go into the promised land and to go see what it was like. He told them, I want you to go and check. Is it what God has promised? Is it what God has said it was going to be? So go out, check it out, and come back and give us a report. And you see, all 12 of those scouts saw that it was exactly what God had promised, that it was a good and abundant land full of life and milk and honey. And yet 10 of those 12 spies, when they saw the people who currently inhabited the land, when they saw the people who currently lived there, and they saw how wicked they were, they saw how mean and how big and how strong they were, when they came back and gave their report, they essentially told the people, yeah, it's like God said, yeah, it has all the things he promised, but we should not go. Because the people there are wicked and they're strong and they're bigger than us and they will kill us. And so even though God said to, we shouldn't. And they began to stir fear in the people, and the people began to panic and said, we should go home, we should go back, we should not go forward. And yet two of the scouts, Joshua being one of them, had a different story about what they had seen. And here's what he said to them. This is Numbers chapter 14, verse 7. He said, and they said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. You see, Joshua trusted God, and he trusted that what God said he would do, he would do. And it's important to note here that what Joshua said was not that there wasn't any danger. It's not like he returned and said, listen, I know it's not like they said. No, it's not that bad. They're not that big. They're not that scary or wicked. That's not what he said. He said, yeah, it's kind of bad. Yeah, they're bigger than us. Yes, they're stronger than us. But listen, if God promised us this place, if God told us to go, then we should trust him and trust him anyways. And it's a reminder to us, here's a way that Joshua's life connects to ours today, is it's a reminder to us to trust God's promises. If God promised to do something, then trust that he will. If God has promised that he is for you, if God has promised to work all things together for your good, then trust that he will. If God has promised you that you are free, if God has promised you that you are forgiven, if God has promised you that you have been made new, then why do we doubt? We are to trust God's promises. And Joshua allowed the things that he had already seen to inform his faith in that moment. You see, Joshua understood that if God has brought us this far, If God has continually met our needs, if God has continually come through for us, then in this moment and in this challenge, I can remember all the things God has already done. And in that moment, it gives me faith to trust that He will also bring us through this. Too often, we have short memories. That there are moments in life where God brings us through something, and in the middle of it, it is so clear. It is so clear how God moved, how He provided for us, how He brought other people in to help us in that moment. And then within a week, a month, a year, we find ourselves in another situation, another moment, and we doubt, and we forget. And we forget that God keeps His promises. And the next time you find yourself in a moment to make a decision in a difficult season, it might be helpful to remember what God has already done for you. Maybe it would help to write things down in a journal so that as God moves in you and in your life, you can write it down and go back to remind yourself of who He is and how He has provided. Or maybe to write in the margins of your Bible how a Bible verse spoke to you in a moment, or how it helped you in the truth that it revealed to you, so that in another moment you can go back and be reminded. There is a reason that God continually told His people, hey, take these stones and put them and stack them there. Hey, erect a monument here. Hey, name this place something specific, so that they would all serve as reminders of something He had done. Because God knew that His people had short memories. And He knew that they would come into another moment and forget who He was. And He wanted them to remember that He keeps His promises. And so the next thing for us to see in Joshua's life is in the next phase of his life, where he actually takes over and becomes the leader of God's people. They finally come up to the promised land, and as they are on the edge of it, they're looking at Jericho. It's a city that is inhabited by the Canaanites. And God instructs them, and God instructs His people to go and conquer that people. Now, the reason God instructs them is not simply because that's their land and that's where God has promised them. No, the reason God instructs them is because the people who inhabit the land, the people who live there are wicked, that they use their power and they abuse and oppress the vulnerable in their community. They oppress and abuse the poor and the old. They sacrifice their children and their infants to false gods, and people are being hurt. And so God prepares His people for battle and to step into this promise after 40 years. And so here's what it says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, if you turned with me there. And here are the instructions that God gives to Joshua. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. They had set up their defenses and they understood people were on the other side. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men.'" And then He begins to give him instructions. He said, "March around the city once with all the armed men, and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in the front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, and with the priests blowing the trumpets, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up and everyone straight in." Now we see here, God gives very clear instructions. They don't make any sense, but they're very clear. God gives him very specific things to do and in an order and for a specific amount of time. And He's essentially telling them, He says, "Joshua, get everyone battle ready. Get your armor on, get your weapons, get prepared." He says, "Go get the Ark of the Covenant." The Ark was a container that held the Ten Commandments that they brought with them everywhere they went and they took with them into battle. He says, "Get your armor, your weapons, get the Ark, grab some trumpets, and then march around the city once a day." And despite the weird instructions, Joshua's confident. He understood that God keeps His promises, and so he tells the people, "Get ready for battle." And they do exactly as God told them. For 6 days, they march around the city in full battle gear. And now, it's important to see here, Joshua is confident. He has no doubt. But I like to and can only imagine how I would have felt had I been one of his troops. You see, because it says here in the text, it doesn't say that he told them the full plan. He receives all the instructions and the uniqueness of them, but all it says that he tells the troops is to go forward and to march around the city once a day. And I can only imagine how I would have felt had I been one of those troops. I can imagine getting dressed, fully dressed in battle gear and putting my armor on and getting my weapon and my sword and looking at this city that God has promised us. For 40 years, we have waited for this moment, and here it is right in front of me, and I'm ready to attack, and we even have the ark with us. Here we go, and everyone gets together, and then we just march around one time. Far enough away from the walls that we don't get hit with arrows. We take the long way around, and no one says a word. I can imagine after that first day, like, what was that about? Like, were we trying to intimidate them? Are we scouting the field? Like, are we making a map? What are we doing? Well, let's see what tomorrow holds. And then the next day, it's the same thing. And the day after that, it's the exact same thing. And for 6 days, they just march around the walls far enough away, and they don't say a word. In full battle gear. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have lost my mind. Being on the edge of this promise that God has promised us and being so ready and ready to go to war, I would just be thinking, what are we doing? Like, what's with these trumpets? Like, I want to use my sword. Like, why? Like, I did not sign up for the marching band. Like, God, what are we doing here? This is the land that we've been promised. God, what are we doing? Joshua, what are we doing? And it's important to know here, too, that every day they walked around, it's not like they saw any progress. It's not like one day they walk around and a part of the wall falls down and more every day. No. After 6 days, there is no evidence that they've done anything. And in that moment, it's just a reminder to us that sometimes we don't see God working. Sometimes we don't see the full thing. And it reminds me, years ago, I would work out with a friend of mine, and he was very knowledgeable, and that was his thing. And it clearly was not mine. And so he became my trainer for a while. And he would always tell me what to do and what exercises to do. And he would always tell me, okay, we're going to do timed reps on this exercise. And so for 2 minutes, you're going to do this thing. And he would always hold the watch. And he would never ever tell me how long I had left. He would never say, okay, 1 minute to go, okay, 30 seconds, 15, 10, never. And I hated it. I already hated going to the gym, and I hated and it hurt doing these exercises, and I always would think, okay, if I just knew I had 15 seconds left, like I think I could push through, like I think I can make myself get through if I just knew the end was in sight. And yet he never gave it to me. And not knowing was just too much for me. So eventually I just stopped showing up. But it really is a reminder. Wouldn't it be nice for God to put a clock up for us on our dreams? Wouldn't it be nice for God to put a clock up to say, hey, that thing you're working towards, that dream you have in your heart, here's how much longer till you get there. Or for him to put up a clock that says, hey, here's how much longer you have to bear this burden. Or here's how much longer you have to endure this season. But God doesn't work that way. And 6 days into this battle, there is no evidence that God has done a thing. And yet in the midst of it, and when I would have been losing my mind, marching around in circles, Joshua trusted God's plan and his timing. And it's a reminder to us to trust God when you can't see the plan. There are many times in our lives where we cannot see every piece of the puzzle. There are many times where we can only see one step in front of us and we do not know what comes next. And we aren't sure how or why God is doing something in our life. And sometimes God puts something on our hearts. He He puts a dream, he puts a mission, a goal, a challenge, and we have no clue how we are going to get from here to there. Maybe God puts on your heart to move, a mission trip, to serve, to give, to do something out of your comfort zone, to start doing something or to stop doing something. In those moments where God puts something on you, what is your first response? How do you feel in those moments? Is your first response simply questioning, how can I possibly do that? I can't possibly do that. I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to say, yes, I don't have the time, I don't have the ability or the capability, this or that. And so many times our first response is just to say, God, I feel it, I hear it, but I can't get there. God, I can't make it through this season. God, I don't know what to do in this. These are both, I feel like I'm going to lose no matter what I choose. And this is such a good reminder of us, for us to trust that God is working and that he is in control, even when we don't see the full plan and even when we don't see everything. We see Joshua trusted God's plan. And he trusted God even when he was given weird and unique instructions. He said, this makes no sense. As a commander and a leader of an army, this makes zero sense, but I'm going to trust you, God, that you are taking us where you want us and that we will be victorious. And so the last thing I want us to see this morning in Joshua's life is a particular encounter he has right before this. You see, right before he's given these instructions from God, he has a unique encounter I want us to see. And so at the end of chapter 5, in verse 13, here's what it says. It said, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and he asked him, are you for us or are you for our enemies? Neither, he replied. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, this is a strange encounter, and you may be wondering, who is this commander of the army of the Lord? Well, many Bible scholars believe, and I agree with them, that this is what is known as a Christophany, or it's an appearance of the pre-incarnate Jesus. Now remember, Jesus has always existed. Jesus was there in creation at the beginning of everything, and so we believe that there are moments in the Old Testament where Jesus shows up, where he interacts with people and gives them instructions, and you'll see here that the ground he stands on is holy, and he is commanding the Lord's army. It's very interesting stuff, and feel free to look up Christophanies or Theophanies. But we see here upon his arrival that Joshua asks him a question as he's preparing for battle. He's looking at the city, getting ready for battle, and someone comes up in front of him in full battle gear with his sword drawn. And so he asks him, hey, are you for us or are you for them? And I love his response. He says, neither. He's saying, I'm not on anyone's side, I'm on God's side. And it was meant to question an assumption that Joshua had, that Joshua just assumed that he knew what God wanted. He assumed that God wanted him to go this direction and God must be on his side in this. And it taught him to stop and to ask, God, am I doing what you want? Is this how you want me to proceed? You see, God doesn't take our side. We get on God's side. And it's a reminder to ask, how do I get on God's side in this? How do I know what God wants? Well, you stop and you ask him. You counsel with the Lord. Which is why we see that Joshua falls on his face in front of Jesus and he asks him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And it is only then after he stops and he realizes, I need to be on God's side in this, I need to ask for his direction, that he's given very specific instructions about how to approach Jericho. Weird instructions. Those would not have been his plans had he just proceeded on his own. That is not how he would have chosen to conquer and to win this battle. It's only after he stopped and asked God for direction that God told them to fight and to do something in a way that they had never done before. And it really is a reminder, and this moment reminds us that we are also meant to seek God's direction every single day. It's important to not walk into moments of life assuming we know what God wants for us, assuming we know what God wants us to do in a decision or a moment, but to stop and to ask him. You see, God works differently in our lives in different seasons of our lives. He directs us to do things maybe one way in a season of life and another way in a different, or to trust him in different ways. Even in Jesus' life, he healed people in different ways. He healed many people, but many of them in different ways. Some he simply commanded to take up their mat and walk, and like that, they were healed. Some he spoke to, some he touched, some he made mud and put in their eyes, and then they could see. Some were healed simply by touching his garment. And even for the Israelites, God commanded them to fight in many different ways. Sometimes they just charged right in and won. Another time, they won every time Moses had his arms raised. And when he would drop his arms, they would lose. And even here, the Battle of Jericho, we see that God gives them very unique instructions. And it's also important for us not to assume in a decision, in a season of life, when God puts something on our hearts, that we know exactly what he wants us to do, but to stop and to ask, to stop and seek his direction. And if we really stopped and opened ourselves to hear from God, we might be surprised by what he calls us to do. Now that may sound simple, but if you follow Joshua's life, you'll see that he doesn't always do this, that he makes mistakes. The next encounter after the Battle of Jericho, on the seventh day, he did exactly what God said, and the walls came crumbling down, and they went in and they prevailed. And yet the very next battle, you see, as they begin to scout another city at a place called Ai, Joshua doesn't stop to ask God for direction. He doesn't stop to consult the Lord, and because of that, they lose. And even after that, their next encounter is with a group of people called the Gibeonites, and they show up to their camp, and they bring different things and food, and they deceive the people. They're saying, we are actually a different people group. We actually live far away, when they really didn't. And as they were doing that and giving them these gifts and deceiving them, here's what it says in Joshua 9. It says, so the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. And they were deceived. And if they had simply stopped and asked God, he would have provided direction. He would have shown them what was happening right in front of them. And yet Joshua learns, and he understands, as he continued to lead God's people, he learned the importance of seeking God's counsel. Before every battle, before these moments, of stopping and not just simply relying on his own ability or his knowledge, but to ask God for his. And so when you have decisions, when you have challenges and things come up in your life, do you seek God's counsel or do you just rely on your own? Do you simply rely on the things that you know to be true or your own ability? The challenge really is to stop and to ask God for direction. Now, you may be surprised by what God may say. You may be given instructions like Jericho of something that doesn't really make sense, something I don't think I'm capable of. But in those moments where God puts something, it's important for us to remember God keeps his promises. And in the moments where we can't see the full plan, to trust him and to continually ask him for direction. Now, these next few weeks, as we look at these different epic characters, these true stories of people's lives that God used, it's important to be reminded that none of them are perfect. That God continually used ordinary and broken and flawed people to do extraordinary things. And even Joshua makes mistakes. But at the end of his life, he is known as being a good leader, someone who followed God and led his people well. And it really all was because it came down to he simply trusted God. In the difficult moments, in the challenging things, in the scary things, he reminded himself, God keeps his promises. And if God has brought me to this point and brought us to this point, then I will trust him. And even though I don't know how we're going to get through this, and even though I don't know how I'm going to get from here to there, I'm going to trust that the good God who has brought me to this point is going to carry me there. And I'm going to stop along the way and continue to ask for direction. And so you may be at a crossroads. You may be in a season, a difficult season, carrying a burden or facing a challenge or deciding something big. Trust that God keeps his promises, even when you don't see how it's all going to play out. And my last thing to leave you with is just this reminder. When God gave just Joshua those instructions, and right before he gave him all the specifics and all the weird things, I want you to just highlight something he said to him. He said, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." Listen, only God can speak in past tense about a battle that has not even occurred yet. God was not worried. God was in control, and he was working. And the same God that led his people into Jericho and led them throughout their lives is the same God that walks with you and me today. God's not worried. He's in control. He's working, and he keeps his promises. And so I just want to give you a moment to just bow your head and close your eyes. And I just want to give you a moment to just remind yourself of the things that God has done in your life, the things and the ways God has provided, and he's come through and met your needs. So just take a moment and think about those things. As you think about the ways in which God has met your needs and he's kept his promises in your life, would you just allow those truths and those moments to influence your faith today? Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you're looking at or deciding between, would you just allow God to grant you peace and trust and confidence that he keeps his promises and that he will continue to bring you through? God, I thank you for that reminder this morning that you are good, you are powerful, you are in control, and you are working when I can't even see it. God, help me to trust you. Use other people, use reminders, God, but just help me to trust you in these difficult and hard moments. God, you are good, and we thank you that you really are a promise keeper. Pray this in your name. Amen.